This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now Dusty starts to holler at Tony La Russa. They've had their share of... And now Dusty's asking La Russa to come out and talk about it. They've had their share of shouting matches. Remember the playoffs last year.
And Dusty most unhappy, as you would expect. And we'll go from there. Ah, some hostility. Probably not deciding where they're going to have dinner.
Dusty Baker, not official yet. Bob Nightingale's reporting he's going to be the manager of the Astros. Richard Justice was on earlier this morning with Payne and Pendergast, said they got to agree on salary, and Dusty is looking for that bread because he is a veteran. So it should happen. It will. It likely will happen, but the Astros have not made it official just yet. If it does become official, though, John, there's going to be some potential fireworks every night for the Houston Astros. And I'm not talking about home runs. I'm not talking about anything to do with baseball per se. Richard Justice has said, a lot of people have said, you've said that the Astros are in for a rude awakening when the season starts because other teams are pissed off. They've made it very clear how upset they are. And there could potentially be some bench-clearing brawl-type situations or temptations for the Houston Astros where opposing pitchers are going to be throwing at the Astros throughout the season.
Well, and let's be clear. Every opposing pitcher, every night, like 162 nights, are going to be warned before the game, or at least know the warning is there about doing something, some sort of retaliation, to the Astros. I don't think it's going to matter that much. It's not going to be every night that something happens, but teams are going to pick their spots. Players are going to pick their spots because let's remember this. A lot of players in Major League Baseball, and managers for that matter, feel like the Astros messed with their,
pockets,
their living. Yeah. They messed with their income, their profession, and their, their spot in Major League Baseball. Somebody does that to you or me, we ain't happy. I always tell people that when we get criticism or whatever, and people will ask me, how do you put up with all that stuff? Hey, if it doesn't directly affect my family or my job, you can say whatever you want. I always say that, and I believe it, and you guys know that if you've been around me for any amount of time. If it directly affects my family or it directly affects my job, well, then we're going to have a problem. Well, guess what? What a lot of people in Major League Baseball – hey, I sounded like Stanford there. But a lot of people in...
1 o'clock, Stanford will be here.
A lot of people in Major League Baseball feel like the Astros did exactly that. They affected their family and their job. And so there's going to be retribution. And just to finish your, what you laid out there, Dusty Baker's a good guy to have around in those situations. Not because he's going to escalate it.
Huh?
But, well, I mean, he could, but I think...
Stay tuned.
He's seen it all. And he's going to be able to control this team as best he can because he's been in those things.
But he also is not one to back down from a fight. And I went through the archives. I went in the lab yesterday just to try to see what Dusty Baker would be like when such situations present themselves. Like, let's say the Astros get in a situation where someone's throwing at them. How is Dusty Baker going to handle those situations? And I went back to when he was the manager of the Cincinnati Reds. And former Red Sox pitcher, former Indians pitcher Derek Lowe, I guess it had a situation where he had pegged one of Dusty Baker's players 2 years prior.
I told you they have those long memories.
And Dusty Baker carried that smoke with him for 2 years until it finally came full circle. And the National, or the Reds, then managed by Dusty Baker, threw inside at Derek Lowe. And after the game, if you want to get a representation of what kind of hard ass the Astros are bringing to town with these potential fireworks and these potential bench-clearing brawls, Dusty Baker and Derek Lowe had a war of words. And I don't know if this is going to excite Astros fans or make Astros fans a little bit nervous, but it excites the hell out of me. Here's the back and forth between Dusty Baker and Derek Lowe, starting with the words of Derek Lowe.
You can go ask him. He'll deny it. I've been trying to do this for 3 years. Why in the would you throw a 96-mile-hour fastball first pitch inside of a pitcher? Ask him.
Number one, you got to ask him why he hit Joey Votto in the back 2 years ago. I'm not denying nothing. Didn't order anybody to hit him, but I told him to buzz him and make him uncomfortable. And that's what happened.
I mean, I have zero respect for that guy, and not that it matters, because I'd imagine he'll say the same about me. I'll just leave it at that.
Since he's such a big man, he wants to run his mouth, tell him to run his mouth about himself.
That's what I was pointing at him, because I knew why it happened. And he shook his finger and all like he had nothing to do with it.
When he said I shook his finger at him to tell him that I didn't have nothing to do with it, I was shaking. Mutombo didn't shake his finger to say I didn't have nothing to do with it. That means don't mess with me or my team. That's what that means. So he better learn sign language.
He gave him the Mutombo.
And then told him to learn sign language.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, there is a chance that if this stuff happens, Dusty Baker's not going to back down from it. I don't know if you get more diplomatic given the situation, but that doesn't sound like a guy that if he feels like his guys are getting thrown at or his guys are getting wronged, is going to back down from it. So the Astros could have some fuel to that potential fire.
Here's the thing. I think this is how it's going to play out. Dusty Baker knows what the Astros did to other players and managers and how the other players and managers feel about it. I think he's going to let a little bit slide. I think if you throw inside but not at their head, Bregman, you know, or Altuve or whatever, I think you can push him a little bit. He's going to understand. He knows the unwritten rules of baseball, right? No one knows him better than Dusty Baker. But I think he's going to draw the line at if it becomes too much. You know what I mean? And then he's going to do the Mutombo on him. He's going to go right back at him or say something publicly like that. I think he'll let a little bit slide because you can't deny what happened. I mean, you can't deny that the Astros did that and that other players in the league feel like, you know, you messed with the integrity of the game and their income. Their livelihood.
I don't think he's backing down. I don't think Dusty's backing down at all.
I think he'll let a little bit slide.
You just heard that guy. I don't think he's backing down. Again, Dusty Baker, not officially the Astros manager just yet. Bob Nightingale sticking by it, but apparently they got to agree to terms on the contract. So according to Richard Justice this morning, who was on with Payne and Pendergast, not quite official. Do you ever talk to yourself, John? Do you ever find yourself like having
not as much as you do? I know you have conversations with yourself. You motivate yourself. I do occasionally.
Oh, when I'm like in the lab on the computer.
Yeah,
yeah, I do. Yeah. I absolutely do, and I think it's productive.
It can be.
Well, I mean, I just want to have an intelligent conversation in the morning, and that's really the only possibility. Me talking to myself,
or you just want to hang around with all your friends.
Here's Dusty Baker. Here's Dusty. That was a good one. Here's Dusty Baker talking about Max Scherzer, his former pitcher, Max Scherzer. He's been known to talk to himself on the mound. We saw it when they faced the Astros this year in the World Series, actually. Max Scherzer will talk to himself. Dusty Baker was asked about it, and it's something he actually encourages.
I mean, nobody talked to himself more than Ricky Henderson. You know, Ricky's like, not only talked to himself, but he called his name. You know, he said, come on, Ricky, you know you better than that. Come on, Ricky. It's like, yeah, I tell guys to talk to themselves. I mean, because sometimes you can talk yourself into stuff. You know what I mean? So that's that don't bother me. Sometimes you can figure some stuff out talking to yourself.
He's not wrong. No, I do occasionally, not like you, though. But I have friends.
I'm in there in the lab saying, look out, get on it. Get on it. That's the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. What about potential back and forth with media types? We've seen how Dusty Baker, or we've heard how Dusty Baker reacts to opposing players when he feels like they're doing his team wrong. We've heard him encouraging his players to do unorthodox things. What about encounters with media types? Grant Paulson joined the afternoon show yesterday with Clint Sterner. Not a big fan of Dusty Baker. He doesn't think that Dusty Baker embraces analytics enough. Grant and Danny host a show. It's Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Grant Paulson, part of that show. He had Dusty Baker on, or he went to a press conference after a Nationals game, and he had an interesting back and forth with Dusty Baker, analytically motivated, surrounding a Houstonian, I don't even want to mention his name, Rondon, but this was the exchange that Dusty Baker, likely the next manager of your Houston Astros, had with Grant Paulson regarding analytics.
It's not that common that a guy who's top five in OPS, like Anthony Rendon, hits as low as he does. Do you still think about moving him up at all, or are you content?
Where should he move to?
Well, you could move everybody up a slot if you wanted to. Do you believe in the philosophy that your best hitter should hit the highest in the order to get the most at-bats?
Yeah, but is he our best hitter?
Maybe not, but I would say he's a better hitter than Wilmer Defoe or Chris Heisey.
He hadn't batted below those guys.
He had second most nights.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is I batted him second last year. He's been so productive behind. You know, who's going to hit behind Murph?
Well, it could still be Rendon if you moved everybody up one spot.
Okay, well, when you're the manager, you can make out the lineup.
But I'm asking you, you know more about baseball than I do. I want you to coach me up philosophically. Do you believe in, over the course of a season, maybe 30 at-bats different every spot down? If you move Rendon up to second, he might be able to impact your club 50 more times.
I know who's going to hit behind Murphy. Murphy's, over the last couple of years, has been our best hitter.
Pretty good back and forth, actually.
And he's, you know, and he wasn't being, like, bitter about it. He's like, okay, well, why are you saying that? You know, he was actually asking questions. I like that. I like that back and forth.
I do wonder about the analytics side of Dusty Baker, because some people say he stuck the middle finger up to analytics. Other people say that, you know, he might be a little bit more open to it. You got to think, if you come to the Astros, you're going to embrace analytics.
This is the only analytics I care about with Dusty Baker. He's old school. I don't expect him to be changed, you know, to change overnight. I just want proper shifts. You know, shifts work. And he used them with the Nationals. So I'm not really that worried. You know, he didn't use them early in his managerial career. But you heard Durker talking about it yesterday. Yeah, Durker said, if I managed again today, which he doesn't want to, but if I managed again today, I would really use those a lot more. I think proper shifts, you know, tendencies, where guys hit the ball, that works. So that to me, if he just does that much, everything else will be gravy.
OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. The last time Bill O'Brien spoke, the current GM and head coach of your Houston Texans, the last time he spoke, he answered a lot of significant questions in regards to what we can expect from him as a general manager this offseason. We'll revisit those words and react to the news next. Bill O'Brien, officially the head coach and GM of your Houston Texans. Kind of knew it. Kind of suspected it. John McClain's been telling us for a long time. Some of us wanted to hold on to a healthy dose of being naive, thinking maybe there was going to be another general manager. Did not happen. In fact, yesterday, minutes after we signed off, Bill O'Brien was announced as the official general manager of the Houston Texans. John Lopez, you think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing, given the fact that we accept the reality of the situation. Might as well be some transparency, and that's where we are right now. Bill O'Brien calling all the shots, and it's not mysterious anymore. It is known B.O.B. is the head honcho.
I like it. I like it, and I hate it. And I shouldn't say hate. I like it, and I'm uncomfortable with it. I like it because every decision is Bill O'Brien's, and there is no more doubt about it. This is his squad. Every decision is his. Every move is his. All these weird firings and comings and goings, and lost a DB coach yesterday. We'll get to that. Anthony Midget, he gone. Chris Olsen, he's gone. You know, executive assistants are gone. J.J. Moses, who just got ranked by the NFL as the number one person in terms of player engagement in the league, he got fired. Over and over and over it happened. That's all. Now we know. All right. And now we know for sure, because you always had a hunch. And now we know for sure that's Bill O'Brien's call. That's what he does. And I like the fact that there's going to be that accountability now, and it's an undeniable accountability. But on the other hand, I didn't want it. You know, I think very few people wanted Bill O'Brien to be the head coach and general manager. But if he is, I want it out there in name, right?
Yeah. Why did J.J. Moses get fired, do you think?
There are things out there. Well, maybe we'll give J.J. a call and get his perspective on this. I know J.J. pretty well.
It just seemed like people liked him a lot in that locker room.
I don't know anybody that's never not liked J.J.
I mean, whenever I was in the locker room, it seemed like J.J. Moses was very, very well received and very, very well liked in that locker room.
Seemed like
everybody kind of brightened up whenever
he brightens up
Moses
any room he goes
around.
Into. He's one of the most likable guys I've ever known. I don't know anybody. Well, I didn't know anybody who didn't like J.J. Moses. It's weird.
That's very weird. We wonder when Bill O'Brien's going to speak. John McClain said it's likely going to be before the combine because at the combine he's going to have to speak. Mm-hmm. And that's very soon. But I wanted to go back in time to the last time Bill O'Brien spoke. It was the day after the Kansas City Chiefs game. I just went back and grabbed all of the GM-relevant questions that Bill O'Brien answered that day. So okay. Here's a little piece of Bill O'Brien addressing all the stuff that he's going to have to address as the GM of your Houston Texans this year.
How much does it benefit you to be in charge from today forward as opposed to last year when you got this personnel late?
I think that relative to like being in charge, again, I think there's a lot of people that help. I just really want to try to do the best I can to make that clear. I mean, there are a lot of people, whether it's the coordinators or Jack Easterby or Matt Bazargan or whoever, that are involved with decision making. And so it's definitely a consensus. You know, we try to build a consensus. You know, that's one thing that Bob talked about a lot, Bob McNair. That's one thing that Cal talks a lot about, is we try to build a consensus. That's what we try to do. And I think that starts today, you know, with some of the information that we'll get today, and then we'll move forward with that.
You made the flurry of moves before the season started. Did you get the kind of payoff that you wanted from those? And maybe as a follow-up, I would ask, was that, in your view, a long-term move, or was that a short-term move for the franchise?
I think that those moves did pay off. Those guys came in, without mentioning each guy specifically, but I do believe that those guys came in and really – you know, entered into our culture of what we're trying to do, learned the systems, tried to go out there, and those guys played well. I'm sure there's always plays that each one of them wish they could have back, but I think that those guys helped our team win this year when we won. I think any move we make, you know, we try to think about the long term. Now, you know, you could probably pick and choose some moves where maybe contractually it doesn't seem like it's long term, but you know, within the building and within the meeting rooms, we think about it more for long term purposes as we move forward here. But yeah, I think all those guys came in and contributed.
Is the plan for the front office setup to stay the same way by committee, or do you envision Cal hiring a GM?
You know, I haven't even met with Cal today, to be honest with you. I would be remiss by answering that question, but I feel like where we are right now, the way that I see it right now, it stays the way it is, and we have a great group of people that meet daily, talk about the team, the roster, all the support staff, you know, the sub programs that we have here, and try to make the best decisions for the team.
When it comes to that improvement that you're talking about with John, how likely is it that you might relinquish some of your duties so you can focus?
I think you got to look at everything, Jerome. I think you got to, every year is different. I think you have to look at yourself first before you look at anything else. And I think that that's what we're starting to do today with me, relative to me, myself, just looking at some of the things that went on, whether it was yesterday or the whole year. We start that process right now. And I think you have to look at everything. I mean, you have to decide what you're doing is what you're doing the best for the football team. Can you help the team in another way? And that's what we'll do. And I think everybody needs to do that. You have to look at yourself a little bit. And that's what we're going to start that process today.
Man. Well, you know, let's go through some of that, right? Let's move forward a little bit to the NFL Combine when the general managers talk. He can't answer some of those questions the way he did. The first one about a lot of people help. You know, I got to make that clear. It's a consensus. I mean, a lot of people help.
He can't do that anymore.
Can't do that anymore.
That's dated.
It being a committee. And kind of refuses to answer.
Can't do that anymore.
Can't do that anymore. What about, relinquishing that last part that Jerome Solomon asked, relinquishing some of his duties? Well, I got to look at myself. I got to decide what's best for the team. Well, he did, and he decided he was best for the team in that role. So this is why, and I'm so glad you dug up that audio, you and Figgy, this is why I like the move of naming it, because it's like, all right, come on, Bob. I mean, Bill. You're the guy here. You have to answer to some of these. What you think about these players that you draft? you know, what you're thinking in the, you know, publicly in terms of managing the squad. He called, he mentioned the sub programs, right? The sub programs are some of the people that he fired this past week. And I think that's his call. There's nobody else's but his.
I just got to wonder if Bill O'Brien, and obviously you can, it's a fluid situation when someone takes a job, what their characteristics are and what their mannerisms are. But I just got to wonder if you do have the title of general manager, can you act the way Bill O'Brien has acted in the past? Is this just going to be a new situation? Because if you just look at general managers around the league, I don't want to say that they completely, you know, show what goes on in an organization, and they're not 100% transparent, but it does feel like a general manager, for the most part, does keep the fans in mind, keeps the fans motivated, lets the fans know what's going on. And I just think Bill O'Brien has been the opposite of that when it comes to when it comes to talking at the podium. So maybe it doesn't mean much, but to me, if I'm an owner, there's a certain way in which a general manager carries himself,
mm-hmm.
and it's not the way Bill O'Brien does things. It's not the Bill O'Brien way. So is it just going to be the same old guy, and he's going to go up there and he's just going to be like, for example, John, like, is Bill O'Brien on a Monday press conference? Let's say after the Texans get mm-hmm. done, like on a Monday press conference, is he going to go up there and is he going to have to answer questions about situational stuff in the game, like decisions to punt and all that type of stuff?
Right.
And then answer a question about, well, are you guys going to be looking into replacing so-and-so who got hurt? What about the waiver wire? What about that?
Right.
Is he going to have to? Like,
no, I agree.
Is he going to be obligated now to answer those questions, the GM questions? Because in the past, he could sweep them away.
Well, let's go back to.
He didn't have the title. So how does that work? Does he just go up there as just coach? Like, is he going to have to go up there and say, all right, guys, I'm just Coach O'Brien right now.
No,
only
he can't.
Answering coach questions.
That's why I like this move. He cannot do that.
He can do whatever the hell he wants. We've established
that.
No.
He's got the power to do whatever the hell he wants. But what I'm saying is you can't expect anyone to believe you when you say, like, let's go back to the Jadeveon Clowney thing. You know, he was kind of vague about that. And, you know, we had these decisions. It was a committee. It was a consensus. No, man. One dude made that call. It's you. And so I think it's something that he has to address. I just feel like, you know, he may talk in circles. He may avoid the.
We're just going to get it. We're going to get. And
maybe.
You can just put this on loop. All we're going to get in everything. We're not going to get any more. We're not going to get as transparent as we can say it is, or as much more transparency as the title provides. I think we're just going to get a lot more circle talking, and it's going to result.
You might.
It's going to be something along the lines of this.
But you're going to see right through it now. And there's not going to be any doubt about, like, that. That is a.
I think you're going to get the same thing.
That is incorrect.
I think you're going to get the same thing, John.
What you're saying. You might.
I think it's going to be.
Now, look, I'm through. Hey.
Every decision is done in the best interest of the team. I got a lot of guys that I talk to. We come to a consensus. But I think you're going to get the exact same thing.
But, Bill, I have a follow-up. What made you decide to pull the trigger? That's always got to be the follow-up.
We just do what we. Every move we make
is in the best interest of the team.
Let me
rephrase my question. You ultimately had to make that decision. What were the factors that made you make that decision?
We decide on a lot of factors, but
see,
at the end
will
of the day,
through
the
that.
Bottom line comes, it is what is in the best interest of the team.
Bingo.
That's all you're going to hear.
Bingo. You might hear just that, but now there's no more, well, maybe, you know, somebody, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, that is incorrect. That's
so,
your call.
So are we going to get a Bill O'Brien draft presser? Like when Brian Gain and Rick Smith used to go up after the draft picks, now we're going to get Bill O'Brien going up there as the GM too?
He has to. He is the GM.
I mean, that's just that's.
And by the
way,
I'm through.
It's gonna be weird
predicting that
Bill O'Brien's
there
changing.
Will be a new Bill O'Brien. That he's softer, kinder, gentler.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I made that mistake in training camp.
That was silly. That was probably your worst.
It didn't look
mistake
silly
last
at the
year.
Time, but it was a mistake ultimately.
Oh, it looked silly. John McClain hiked his leg on that immediately. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. Who is Jack Easterby? We've talked a lot about Bill O'Brien, but his right hand man is Jack Easterby. Let's try to get to know this guy. And there are other moving parts in the news regarding the Houston Astros and the Super Bowl. We'll give it to you next. Bill O'Brien is officially the king of your Houston Texans. It's been going on for 8 months, according to Cal McNair. This is the way the team has been functioning, so why not make it official? Cal McNair makes Bill O'Brien the coach/general manager of your Houston Texans, the only guy in the entire league to have both of those titles. Here is Cal McNair's statement right here. Does this qualify, by the way, John, as Cal McNair speaking? Does this satisfy your desire to hear from Cal?
It was good to hear from him on why they did this. But speaking is speaking, right? And we'll work on that. We'll continue to work on that.
Here is Cal McNair's statement on Bill O'Brien. Quote, preparations are underway for the 2020 season, and I thought it was important to update titles, roles, and responsibilities for Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby so they more accurately reflect the way we've been operating for the past 8 months. Damn, thanks for listening, man. That really was our last segment, like word for word. I was encouraged by the progress that our team made on the field this year, which was due in part to our new structure.
All right, full stop real quick. I know he said more. Remember that sentence right there.
Our operating approach and the leaders within our football operations group. I am proud that we provided our fans with many thrilling victories at home, including a playoff win, and we delivered another double-digit win season. Our fans deserve that, but now it is time for the organization to get back to work and work toward our pursuit of a world championship for the city of Houston. I was going to do this anyways, but after listening to In the Loop on Sports Radio
well,
610, I decided that I needed to get busy.
I don't know.
Last sentence may not have been in the statement.
May or may not have been part of the statement.
First of all, John Lopez, mm-hmm. your takeaways from what you just heard from Cal McNair.
I think two. Let me go back to what you said, first of all, that he is the only official. There are some unofficial head coach and general managers. We know their names. Sean Payton, has he done anything? Bill Belichick, what has he done?
Not good.
Andy Reid.
Trash.
And am I missing anyone else who's a de facto?
That's it.
Head coach and gentleman.
That's okay. It.
But in terms of the title, head coach / general manager, Bill O'Brien is the only one in the NFL. Okay?
Okay.
The only one who has that title.
Right.
Let me...
You have a problem with that?
Well, I'm just giving you facts. You can form your own opinion on this, all right? Here are some other facts. Let me give you some other names of head coaches. This isn't the full list. I'm going to give you, I can give you the full list, but let me give you some names of some other notable people in the history of the NFL who were named head coach / general manager. Bill Parcells.
Overwhelming success.
Mike Shanahan.
Success.
Mike Holmgren.
Success.
Jimmy Johnson.
Success.
Paul Brown.
Success.
Vince Lombardi.
Success.
George Halas.
Success.
Don Shula.
Success.
Bill Walsh.
Success.
There are some others who were polar opposite of success.
Surely they were successes, right?
It's, I think when you convince someone to name you the actual head coach and general manager, I think these other names are going to tell you that it's either feast or famine. That first group of names I gave you, I mean, they're Hall of Famers, every one of them.
Right.
Every one of them is a Hall of Famer. Not officially yet, but you get my point.
Right.
Butch Davis.
Overwhelming failure.
Chip Kelly.
Failure.
Mike Sherman.
Eh.
Okay. Nick Saban.
Nope.
Nope. And Mike Nolan.
Nope.
So that's
there's
the
really
list.
Not much middle ground there.
There's not much middle ground. You're either a booming Hall of Famer or a complete flop when you are, historically anyway, when you are... named the head coach and general manager. So that's that part.
I get what you're saying there. I understand all that. But I do think this is a good decision just because I think the decision had already been made.
Yeah.
I think Cal McNair making it official and making it transparent and giving the titles, I think it benefits a lot of people. And I think it benefits Cal McNair the most. Because now Cal McNair is making it clear regardless of how you feel about the decision, and I think both guys in this room feel that Bill O'Brien should not have that responsibility.
Right.
He has not earned that, and you can nitpick Bill O'Brien as a coach.
And
if
I think
you
most
want.
People in this city feel the same way.
I would say the overwhelming majority.
But set that aside
mm-hmm. and realize that now it's all on Bill O'Brien, and Cal McNair's making it clear. This ain't no mysterious, flat organization. Yes, he has guys he talks to. But Bill O'Brien, at the end of the day, if there are 15 guys in a room and Bill O'Brien is at the head of the table, if 14 guys want to do one thing and Bill O'Brien wants to do something, Bill O'Brien's going to be the one to get his way. They're not sitting there and throwing stuff in a hat and counting votes. It's right. Bill O'Brien's decision. And I think before this, although we kind of knew that, Bill O'Brien could kind of mysteriously mask the accountability that goes with it and the reality of the situation. Can't do that no more.
Well,
can't do that no more,
and,
John.
And there's another part of this that we really haven't talked a lot about yet, because now that he's officially general manager and head coach, it's not just the people that he's fired, and it's been a really big number of people that he's fired in the last year, or seen that they're no longer in the organization. Let's talk about the people that he's bringing in now, all right? You're bringing in guys that know that you are the king. You're general manager, your head coach. There is no, you know, having someone else in management on your side. You know, there is no one else who can make the decision whether you're staying or you're going. So what does that tell people that he brings in? It means you do everything he says. And I know, look, workplace, you do what your boss says. But I'm saying it's like you have, like, no other recourse. You have to be a Bill O'Brien guy, but you know, from the word go.
Go back through that list, please. Like, go back through that list. Because to me, that kind of scares me a little bit. And I don't know how that impacts free agency. But just go through the list of the great names on that list of guys who've had the title. The title of king, basically, coach slash GM. Go through the legends that have had that title.
Bill Parcells, Mike Shanahan, Mike Holmgren, Jimmy Johnson, Paul Brown, Vince Lombardi, George Halas, Don Shula, and Bill Walsh.
If I'm a player, I want to go somewhere where those guys are running ish. It just doesn't seem that appealing to me to say Bill O'Brien is the head guy. Oh, I want to play there for him. That doesn't seem very appealing for me. And furthermore, I know we look at these guys in regards to the NFL and we say, man, Butch Davis, Chip Kelly, Nick Saban, those guys suck. But you had to woo them from college. See how I said woo instead of woe? You had to woo those guys away from their colleges. You had to woo them away from very successful programs. Butch Davis was at Miami.
National championship.
Chip Kelly was out there at Oregon. They were building a dominant program. And Nick Saban was at LSU.
National championship.
So you had to give them that power.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien's been here for 6 years now.
That's a great point.
And, like, usually when you give these guys their power, it's a Bill Parcells or it's a Mike Holmgren that has earned it. These guys are guys that you had to woo away.
Yeah.
So you gave it to them. Of all the people on
this
list,
they had you over a barrel negotiating.
Bill O'Brien makes the least amount of sense.
Yeah.
Because these, again, you're either a legend or you're somebody that has to be wooed. That's not the case.
And a lot of those guys that were wooed were legends in college and are legends in college. And let's talk about something else that these guys have in common. And kind of ties in with what I was just talking about, what the people he bring in, they're going to be cut in the mold of Bill O'Brien. All right. Bill O'Brien's coaching tree is non-existent right now. Right?
Some people would say Mike Vrabel, but Mike Vrabel himself, he credits Bill O'Brien for giving him the opportunity.
All right.
When he talks about guys who taught him stuff, because I heard the interview the other day, he gives Bill O'Brien credit for the opportunity, but he gives
Belichick.
Urban Meyer and Bill Belichick credit for teaching him
about
the game.
That's what I'm talking about. Look at Bill Parcells' coaching tree. Belichick is a Bill Parcells guy.
Sean Payton's a Bill Parcells guy.
Look at Mike Shanahan's. There's one in the Super Bowl this week. One of his proteges, and Gary Kubiak, who's won a Super Bowl. Mike Holmgren, who are his proteges?
There's tons.
He's a West Coast guy.
There's Gruden, and he's connected
actually,
to Walsh. He's connected to Walsh.
Bill
he's
Walsh
connected
protege.
To Walsh, but you could also connect on Holmgren's staff, Gruden. You can connect Andy Reid. You can connect a lot of guys there.
Yeah, and Bill Walsh, it was his guy. Well, Lombardi, of course, you know.
Everybody.
Paul Brown, everybody.
Yeah.
Started the league, basically. Don Shula. I mean, so what you're getting is, you know, the proteges, the subservient coaches under these guys are going to be your coaching tree. And so what does that mean for Bill O'Brien? It means his kind of guys are going to be, well, who knows where they're going to go end up.
Bill O'Brien, not the only one who got promoted yesterday. Jack Easterby got promoted as well. He's now the executive vice president of football operations. He had been the VP of team development. So who is Jack Easterby? He was with the New England Patriots. Before that, he was at the University of South Carolina. This was Albert Breer, because Jack Easterby came to Houston last April. This was Albert Breer when he joined the morning show talking about Jack Easterby's path to the Houston Texans.
Jack used to be was like that guy over the football ops people, over the scouts, over the coaches, to make sure that everyone was in the position they should be in, was to make sure that they were getting, the team was getting the most out of every position, but at the same time making sure that every individual person is getting the most out of themselves. Belichick set that up. So what he was doing with the players, like Jack's role was sort of parallel to that in certain ways with the coaches and the scouts. Other guys have tried to take him out of the organization with them. Everyone inside that building saw the difference that he was making. And when anyone else got an opportunity somewhere else, they wanted to bring him with them. I think Jack was like sort of looking for, and this is my understanding of it, Jack was sort of looking to kind of take a step up, and the Patriot connections in Houston wound up, you know, getting O'Brien, the guy he wanted.
Well, he took a step up, and it did not take long. 2 months after Jack Easterby arrived, Brian Gain was shockingly fired on that Friday as we went off the air. He is now Bill O'Brien's right-hand man. Impressive stuff there. Still not sure what that means in regards to football operations. But here was Bill O'Brien himself before Jack Easterby got promoted talking about what his now right-hand man provides the organization.
Jack is just what his title says. He's executive vice president of team development. He helps in all areas of the team, helps me with the team. He helps departments that, you know, work with the team, obviously training room, equipment room, you know, helps me with putting in, you know, processes to really the duties of each department relative to the team. You know, it's all about the team and how can we improve the team. And Jack has been an excellent addition to the organization.
That's so broad. And I don't know what he means by just what his title says. Like that is so broad. It's broad, but it's expansively broad.
It's broad and expansive, but it's also, this dude does everything. You know, from training room to equipment, he said, to personnel, to helping him in every aspect. I mean, Jack Easterby has, whether it's really, really impressive and important or kind of scary, he's gone from team chaplain to the second most powerful man for an NFL organization.
And I think he's an extremely, extremely intriguing, charismatic guy.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard a single word from Jack Easterby. But just to show you what Jack Easterby brings when the microphone turns on, this was Jack Easterby back in his days at South Carolina. There's a lot of noise outside surrounding the Houston Texans, but this was Jack Easterby when he was making a speech to a group of young athletes about 7 years ago, talking about ignoring the outside noise.
Listen to the inside and ignore the noise outside. Don't live for the hype. Don't live for the success of having your name in lights. Live for the inside. My challenge is live from the inside out, not from the outside in, because when you let other people determine what success is, you'll be miserable.
I'll say this, John.
Mm-hmm.
The guy can talk, and I think it's really strange to me that he hasn't said a word yet. Like, are we still not going to hear from Jack Easterby? Because I'm sure he can do a lot of good things, and I'm sure that, you know, Bill Belichick saw something in him, and now Bill O'Brien sees something in him, and he's an impressive guy. But you want to hear from Cal? I don't need to hear from Cal anymore. Mm-hmm. Now that Cal has made this official, I don't need to hear anything.
Let's put it this way. I think it's important that he speaks.
He has nothing to do with
it. It's important for fans.
He's made it clear. I think he spoke with these titles.
I don't know.
But I want to hear from Easterby.
I don't agree with that.
I want to hear from Easterby more than Cal.
I mean, obviously, you don't go from where Jack Easterby was to where he is now without being incredibly impressive and a great communicator. But at the same time, is there another side to him? Does he want to keep it closed up even more so? This whole thing, and you were right yesterday. I heard it back later. You were right yesterday. This isn't the Patriots.
To sit here and say that this is the Patriot way is insulting to the Patriots.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
It's the Texans taking the Patriots way and putting their own spin on it, which is even tighter.
This ain't the Patriots.
Tighter lipped, et cetera. So, I mean, he's incredibly impressive. He has to be. But is there something that he doesn't want to? I mean, is he just that closed-lipped and closed-minded, actually, to think we don't need to do this? We don't need to be public at all? Let's just do our deal here? I don't know. I mean, he's not talking.
But you think it's an obligation to the city, right?
I've always believed that. NFL, professional sports organizations wear your city's name on their chest. They wear your city's name on your on their chest collectively. And so that, to me, with that comes a huge responsibility to your city. You know, I just have always believed that. You know, why do sports organizations, you know, have taxpayers building them stadiums? Because you're that important to the taxpayer. You know, they will pay the freight for you because they identify with you so much. You owe it to them. You owe it to them. It's not like a choice. You owe it to them.
I don't think we're going to get it.
No.
I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to get it. So I'll keep my fingers crossed. I'd love to hear from Jack Easterby. Love his work. He got me through about an hour going through YouTube videos, but I wouldn't hold my breath on hearing from him. Now, what does this mean for Nick Caserio? This, according to Ian Rappaport, this means that Nick Caserio will not be coming to Houston. And Romeo Crennel, by the way, looks like he is going to stay on the staff in a key role for the defense. Why?
It's a soft landing.
Why?
It's a soft landing.
Why?
Because Bill O'Brien is loyal to him, and he's loyal to Bill, and he's a Belichick guy. Romeo's a Belichick guy. Bill's not going to turn his back on that stuff. Easterby is not going to turn his back on the – I don't think Romeo Crennel's going to have much of a say, really, on anything. I could be wrong. I think it's just kind of a soft landing advisor, if you will. And you also didn't mention yet, lost another coach, Anthony Midgett.
The DB coach.
He gone.
He's Anthony been Little Person, by the way.
Either pushed out.
BPC,
or,
bro.
Right, either pushed out or fired. He's going to end up joining the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, he's going straight to the Tennessee Titans, mm-hmm. from the Texans to the Titans. Some mm-hmm. would say that that is an upgrade. Mm-hmm. They did go further in the playoffs than the Texans. So that means we have Romeo Crennel, defensive coordinator, gone. Outside linebacker coach John Pagano, gone. Mm-hmm. And now DB coach Anthony Midgett. Gone, or Little Person, if you want to be PC.
Yeah.
Where's the offensive moves? Have we seen anything on the offense? Anything on that offense?
Anyone?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just absolutely ridiculous. Super Bowl, by the way, Super Bowl is 4 days away. Andy Reid said there's no injuries to report for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Healthy Kelsey, healthy Clark,
healthy everyone that was somewhat dinged up earlier. So that's good news for them.
Cleveland police chief, he backed the cop that let Kareem Hunt off. We heard the 911 audio yesterday. We'll hear it when we go around the NFL at 1 with Stanford Rout. He let him off. He supported him, said it was a good decision, and stood by his guy. The Dusty Baker news. Dusty Baker, Houston Astros skipper. Not so fast, my friend. We still think it's going to happen. Bob Nightingale is sticking to it. Mm-hmm. However, Richard Justice, he joined the morning show with Payne and Pendergast this morning. He wanted to make it clear Dusty is likely the guy, but there's some work to be done.
Until the contract's done, it's not done, because with veteran guys like that, a guy with almost 2,000 wins, he's going to want a significant compensation. I think Dusty said the two things I want in life now are a good team, a good roster, and a nice salary. And managerial salaries are going south. Dusty, I don't think, is going to come at a discount. But it does look like it'll get done.
I don't even buy that. All due respect. I think Dusty's – he was going to be – who was going to hire him? You know? He's 70 years old. He's made a ton of money. I think it's just a lot of people are not getting the same reports that our guy got. Bob Nightingale, and so they're like just reluctant.
Dusty Baker's son is tweeting out Astros gifts.
Yes,
like
exactly.
And I don't. These baseball guys are weird.
He's not going to hold Jim Crane hostage. Yeah, he's going to get a good MLB salary. Yes, a manager salary. He's Dusty Baker, for God's sakes. But it's not going to be a money issue.
Why is this so weird?
I think this is more has to do with as much the media as anything.
Why?
Because Bob Nightingale got something no one else can confirm. And someone up high in the Astros organization, because McTaggart didn't like say it was absolutely not going to happen. Because if it was a false report, we would have had multiple occasions where somebody says, "Oh no, that's not the case." Because they're just getting a hold your horses, you know, from the Astros sources. They're getting hold on, no, not yet. It's not done until it's done, which is actually what he said right there verbatim. It's done, okay, and it's not going to be. You know, we couldn't sign Dusty Baker. He asked for too much money. No way. It's done. It's just that Nightingale got it. Nobody else did.
A lot of loopholes are saying that wasn't Jack Easterby. That was Joel Osteen.
I know. It's all over the Sounds like, a lot like him.
I mean, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Here's Richard Justice on potential drama for Dusty Baker if he does take the Astros job.
There's going to be a cloud hanging over this team. I mean, it's a mushroom cloud. Every question is going to be relate to cheating, even if it's not about cheating. The hostility on the road is going to be amazing. There's going to be hitters drilled, all that stuff. Dusty's been through everything, and this too shall pass.
That kind of makes me excited because I've been to a perfect game. I've been to a no-hitter. I would trade both of those for a bench-clearing brawl, so Astros fans might get to see a few of those this
year. Yeah, now that I buy. That is going to be the occasion there.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Rockets in Portland tonight, tip-off at 9 p.m. on TNT. King Bill, it is official. Bill O'Brien is the GM and the head coach, but are the guys on Kirby loopholes? The evidence says yes. We'll give it to you next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.